Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Attention, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness to share tips about all things that can support you on your journey to becoming the best version of yourself and build a bulletproof mindset to get whatever you want out of life. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a little bit more of a mindset episode. I've been getting such incredible feedback from people from my book, The Fitness Mindset, which spent 8 straight weeks on the bestseller list in Amazon. It was the bestseller in Dewberry's bookstores in Ireland, and then actually went back on the bestseller list again. It's got over 357 five-star reviews on Amazon, so a massive thank you to everybody who's read the book, passed it on to their friends, left a review, or hit me up on DM or on Snapchat, just telling me how it's impacted you. It means so much to read those messages. So today's episode is kind of a bit more of a mindset one. Just to give you a little bit of a context or background to anyone that hasn't read the book, the whole book is split into two sections. Fitness is the first half, where I talk training, nutrition, supplements, sleep. And then the second half is all mindset. So the figurative death by a thousand cuts, the things that set us back in terms of getting the body composition we want or just feeling happier in general, things like stress, anxiety, worry, cortisol, dealing with negativity, dealing with naysayers. So today's episode, I'm going to focus heavy on the five lessons or life lessons that I use every single day effectively to try and make myself happier. And it's something that I go back to, it's something I share with people that I work with and people that are in my first circle, my closest five people. And hopefully going through them today will help you apply the ones that are going to be the most applicable to you. And I hope I'm able to provide a load of value to you in this episode. So one of the first lessons that I learned probably over the last 12 months is down to one of the quotes that I read from Buddha that really landed with me and I've since tattooed onto my brain. And that is that if you're not happy at the destination, or you're not happy on the journey, how are you going to be happy at the destination? And what that effectively means is process is everything. And as a result, you end up getting everything that you want. And I was, once upon a time, I was that person that I was like, I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when I have a job in fitness. I'll be happy when I'm 85 kilos of muscle. I'll be happy when I'm 10% body fat. And I would put a lot of my happiness into external, I'll be happy when this happens. And the truth is, when you're living your life that way and you're constantly telling yourself that, right, I'll be happy when I've got a girlfriend, or I'll be happy when I get this new job, or I'll be happy when I'm down 3 dress sizes, you're constantly looking towards the future and looking towards the destination. And if you're not happy in the process and on the journey, then when you get there, it's not going to mean anything. And I was that person. I remember when I came through my own fitness career, particularly when I was competing and traveling the world as a fitness model, and my bar had moved to what I wanted to look like. I wanted to be bigger, I wanted to be leaner, I wanted to have, you know, 8 abs instead of 6. I wanted all these things that I was comparing myself to other people. And I love the Theodore Roosevelt quote that comparison is the thief of joy. And what was happening for me during that time, I'll use myself because you're your own best example, in the hopes that it lands and resonates with you listening. When you are looking at other people and what they have and you're comparing yourself to them, it's a case that you're never going to be big enough. You're never going to be lean enough. You're never going to be skinny enough. And if you're constantly telling yourself that I'll be happy when I drop a stone, I'll be happy when I drop a dress size, I'll be happy when I have a six pack, it's a case that you're putting your happiness into something external that can be taken away from you effectively in the blink of an eye. You know, you go off your diet, or you diet down really, really hard, and then you go off it and you put up your 2-3 kilos of weight, or you climb up a dress size, or you lose your abs, then all your self-worth gets tied to the way that you were looking. And what happened that I had to learn the hard way effectively, and they say that your mess becomes your message, was I went through my life and I was like, okay, I'll be happy when I'm a professional fitness model. And then when I was a professional fitness model and traveling the world, I was like, well, I'll be happy when I'm on the cover of magazines. And then when I was getting into magazines, I would tell myself, well, I'll be happy when I win the world titles and I'm the best in the world. And what happened, the same thing happened when I came out of fitness modeling and I went into business. I would tell myself that I'll be happy when I hit this figure. I'll be happy when I have these amount of clients. And it just shows up everywhere in my, for me, it was showing up everywhere in my life, because how you do anything is how you do everything. And when you see your life as I'll be happy when, you're constantly looking towards the destination. You're never able to live in the moment and be fully happy. One of the biggest changes that I've made over the last probably 18 months, 2 years, particularly since my daughter was born, was understanding that process is everything, because all the things that you want externally come when you love the process. Right now, I'm in a very, very fortunate position. And again, I'll use myself, because you're always your own best example and everything, whenever you give an example of anything that you do. And for me, being able to stay in shape now is down to a process. I always stay around 10% body fat. I'm around 82, 83, 84 kilos, depending on the time of day. I don't really weigh myself, because I prefer more to check off body composition and body fat as opposed to numbers on a scale, because I'm not a fighter, I'm not an MMA, I don't box, I don't have to make weight. And weight and body fat aren't the same thing. Weight is numbers on a scale. Body fat is fat on your body. But I'm around those kind of figures for numbers in terms of body fat levels. And the truth is, I find it very, very easy to maintain that now, because it's process. I love the foods that I eat. I eat mostly whole, real foods that give my body energy so that I'm able to train harder and I feel better through the day and I'm more productive. That's down to process. One of the things that I do with people that come through my Top 50 program in particular is, because we tailor everything, myself and my coach Emma, to people's personal preferences, their lifestyles, their schedules, and making things work for each person, it's trying to find how you can get the process. I've spoken in other podcasts in the past, and I spoke about this in my book, The Fitness Mindset, that the best diet you'll ever follow is the one that fits into your lifestyle, that fits into your schedule, that includes foods that you enjoy, and that you're able to stick to long term, that's in alignment with your goals. When you're able to do that, that's process, because what happens is your body starts to change. It's the same with your training. When you're enjoying the training program you're on, you're enjoying high intensity interval training, or you're enjoying low intensity steady state cardio, or you're enjoying circuits or finishers or whatever training strategy you're doing, when you love the process and your body is responding, it's only a matter of time then before you get your abs. It's only a matter of time then before your body changes to the way you want, and then it's very, very easy to maintain it. One of the analogies that I regularly use for getting in shape is like pushing a tire up a hill. It's very, very hard to get a tire up a hill. Like, in the basic law of physics, there's the law one of thermodynamics. An object at rest will stay at rest until moved by an external force. An object in movement will stay in movement unless stopped by an external force. Getting that tire up the hill, it takes a lot of work initially, because you're moving, you're getting started. Things are always so much harder in the beginning. A new training program, a new nutritional plan, a new job, whatever it is you're doing, it's always hard in the beginning. And then you build up momentum and you keep going with that. Once you start pushing a tire up a hill, which is the analogy I use for getting in shape, it's hard work in the beginning, and then you get momentum. And then when you get to the top of the hill, it's relatively easy to hold it there, because all the work has been done. You've formed all the habits that are going to support you long term. You're eating foods that are in alignment with giving your body more energy and are giving you the micronutrients and macronutrients and all the vitamins and minerals that your body needs to thrive and change composition. You're doing training programs that are in alignment with your specific goals, and you're loving the process. And when you love the process, the results come. I've been very, very fortunate myself in the last 6-12 months in particular, the book hitting the bestseller list and selling as many copies as it did, people passing it on to their friends, how it's done in the US, how it's done in the UK, how it's done in Ireland, all over the world. I've been so fortunate and very, very grateful for the amount of people that have passed on the word or given to their friends to read, or have even just messaged me directly. And that came down to process. The things that I do now, the things that I have, the external things that once upon a time for me looked like success, a nice car, a new house, good clothes, all of these things that I was like, okay, well, that will make me successful. isn't what success is. It isn't what success means for me anymore. And again, define what success means for you, because that's very important to do. But when you love the process, you get all these nice things. When I'm able to do the podcasts that I love to do, I'm able to do the Q&As on Snapchat, the Instagram lives, the books that I write, you get all these external things, the new house, the nice car, but it's down to process. It's all bonus territory because you're loving what you're doing. And when you love what you do, it's very, very easy to stay on track. Because the truth is, you can go on to any diet for 6 weeks. You can go on to a juice diet or a bar diet, and you can grind for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, but then you rebound out the other side. Even getting away from the physiological responses of upsetting things like your ghrelin, your leptin, your hunger hormone, your satiation hormones from extreme dieting and calorie restricting for too long. On top of that, you're going to rebound out the other side, but you can't stick to it long term because it's not process. When you love what you do, when you're using foods you enjoy, you're doing a training program that you like, and you're living a life and doing a job that you enjoy, that you would do for free, or to be in a position of doing and enjoying whatever extracurricular activities you have that you love to do, when you love the process, that's when you get the results. So one of the biggest things that I've learned over the last 12, 16, 18 months, 2 years, is when you love what you do, when you love the process, all the results come. Because if you can't be happy on the journey, you can't be happy at the destination. Okay, tip number 2 kind of ties in a little bit on what I spoke about by the Theodore Roosevelt quote, that comparison is the thief of joy. But I'm going to expand on that and flesh out a small bit, because personally, I think comparison is an incredible thing. But you've got to compare yourself of where you were and compare yourself on how you're getting better. Comparison is the thief of joy when you start to compare yourself to what other people are doing, to how other people look, to what other people have. That's when comparison is the thief of joy. And I'm, again, speaking from first-hand experience, and a lot of people may resonate with this, where you feel amazing about yourself, you feel good about yourself, you've had a good day, and then you go onto social media, or you go onto Instagram, or you go into the gym, and you see a guy who's a lot bigger than you, or you see a girl who's a lot leaner than you, or has a bigger bum than you, or has bigger boobs than you, and all of a sudden you started comparing yourself to the things that they have, and you no longer feel happy about yourself. That's comparison is the thief of joy. And as soon as you start comparing yourself to what other people are doing, you're going to lose any happiness that you have. However, when you flip that and compare yourself to how you're doing and that you're becoming a better version of you, a lot of happiness and fulfillment can come from that. And one of the things that I regularly say on the podcast is, become a better version of you. Become a stronger version of you. The people you follow, the books that you read, the TV shows that you watch, all of these things are molding you, becoming a stronger version of you if you let them. If you're following the right people that are molding your mindset, or educating you in your nutrition, or educating you in your training, or educating you in whatever it is in the area of life that you want to pursue and the areas of interest that you have. But you got to compare yourself to where you were. You may have never joined a gym. You may be the first in 6 months into a training program. You may be training for the last 10 years and now you're getting yourself ready for a bikini competition or a fitness model show or a bodybuilding show or whatever it is, getting yourself ready to move on to your intercounty team or move on to your senior club team. When you compare yourself to where you were and where you're going, that can keep you motivated. I know myself that as soon as I stop taking the ball off what I'm doing, and I love the acronym for FOCUS, follow on one course until success. And when I'm focused on what I'm doing, and I'm focused on helping and serving the people that are following me on social media, for example, or I'm focused on my fitness. For example, I'm training for the Marathon de Sable next year, which is a 256-kilometer self-sufficient race to the Sahara Desert in Morocco. If I start comparing myself against other people, Moroccans who have been doing it for the last 4 or 5 years, I'm going to want to quit because they're doing 200, 300, 400-kilometer runs every week and I'm only building up to 100-kilometer runs. But I'm comparing myself to where I started. I started with 2 kilometers at the end of my workout. I then went up to 3 kilometers at the end of my workout. I then went up to 4 kilometers at the end of my workout. And now I'm doing 20 kilometers at the end of my workout and I'm pushing past that every single week and moving it up until I hit the numbers I want. That comes from comparing yourself to where you were and how well you were doing. And that goes for every area of your life. That goes for your training program. That goes for your strength. That goes for how you look. That goes for your job. That goes for your mindset and positivity in general. Where were you and are you improving? If the answer is no, then you need to change something. You need to change your circle of the people you're around, or you need to change the information you're consuming or the way you're spending your free time. But as long as you're progressing forward and becoming a better version of you, then comparison is an incredible thing. But make sure that you're not comparing yourself against other people who are ahead of you, because your chapter 1 is completely different from someone else's chapter 20. And when you start comparing yourself, you can start to get disheartened because you don't know the trials and tribulations of the guy that has a six-pack for the last year, or the girl who has a massive bum and a lovely flat stomach because they've been training for 10 years more than you, or they've been training for 5 years more than you, or they found a training program and a nutrition plan that works for them. It's very, very easy to get disheartened when you see how well, or in your perception of what success looks like, how well somebody else is doing, because when you compare yourself to them, you're going to lose all of your happiness. And one of the biggest pieces of advice I can offer, and I've tattooed it on my brain, is that comparison is the thief of joy. Focus on the things you're doing, focus on becoming a better version of you, and focus on getting better every single day. Step by step we get ahead, not necessarily in fast spurts. And one of my favorite Charlie Munger quotes is that try and go to bed a little bit wiser every single night, and if you live a long life, you're going to get what you deserve. And that goes for your physique, that goes for your business, that goes for your life, that goes for your sporting career. Try and be a little bit better every single day, and then you will look back on a long life at 97 years old, is what that I normally look back on, or 98 years old, or however long you live, and realize that I became the best version of me. One of the things that would regularly keep me awake at night is the fear, and one of the things that my mentor said to me once, that one of the biggest, most horrible things to deal with in life is meeting the person or thinking about the person that you could have become. So my advice is go to bed a little bit wiser every day, be a little bit better every single day, and before you know it, you'll have everything you want, because you're not comparing yourself to what other people are doing, you're comparing yourself to where you are and where you're going. The next tip then is to understand that there's really only three types of people in life, and it's very important with who you spend your time with. I love the Jim Rohn quote that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So it's very, very important that you choose your five people, and that you make sure you're surrounding yourself with people who are supporting you in what you're doing. And effectively, again, I'm making this minimal and trying to, it's something that helps and serves and supports me, so I'm going to share it on the podcast, that there's generally only three types of people in life. There's naysayers and haters, there's people who don't care what you're doing, and then you've got your supporters, the people who are going to champion you and everything that you do. And it is fucking vital that you're able to separate and see who those people are. The haters, the naysayers, the people that tell you you can't do something, the people who are always going to be negative about everything in their life, and they're always going to tell you that you shouldn't do something just because they don't think they can do it. You can't let someone else's opinion become your reality. Just because it's not their perspective, just because it's not their vision, just because it's not their goal and the thing they want to do, they're going to try and knock you and tell you you can't do it. It's your fucking job to tell them that you can, that you're going, it's your job to not listen to that, because at the end of the day, it's not their dream, it's your dream, the thing you want to do, the body you want, the job you want to do, the people you want to spend your time with, the life you want to live is down to you. And when you let people's opinion become your reality, you start to use their decisions and the words that they use direct the decisions that you make in your life. And at the end of the day, the thoughts you put into your head will dictate the actions that you take, and the actions you take are going to dictate the entire direction of your life. You need to not let those thoughts in. You need to make sure that you are not spending your time every single fucking day with those haters or those naysayers and those people that you are, because they may be your mom, that may be your dad, that may be your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, that may be someone in your first inner circle. You need to not let those words come through. You need to bulletproof your mind and not let those opinions become your reality, because we can go through our whole lives. I had a woman message me recently on Instagram telling me that her mum is always hating on everything that she does, and she's terminally ill with cancer now, and she's afraid that when she dies that she's going to have imprinted in her mind all the things her mum told her she couldn't do. And at the end of the day, when somebody is dying like that, and the advice I offered her is something I would do similar myself, is to make sure you spend as much quality time with that person as you can, but you can't let their opinion dictate the direction of your life. You need to go and do your thing. Your dreams aren't their dreams. Your life isn't their life. So understanding that there are people that are going to be haters, there are people that are going to be naysayers and telling you you can't do something, it's your choice not to spend your time with them, and it's your choice not to let those words penetrate your mind, and you go and do your thing. Okay, the next group of people are those that just don't care. And this is something that I've really learned to hone over the last couple of years, particularly as I've been fortunate enough to grow up a social media following and platforms of a few hundred thousand people across all platforms, that people don't care. And people will talk about you for a moment in time, and then that moment is gone. And one of the examples that I regularly use is when people have gym anxiety and they're worried about joining the gym because everybody will be looking at them. All you have to do is step foot into any gym and you'll see people in there working on themselves, looking in the mirror at their own form or how they look, and they're not looking around at anybody else because people are focused on them. I challenge you to walk down the streets next time you're in a busy city and look at everybody that walks past you. None of them are focused on you. They're focused on them, or they're looking at their phone, or they're focused on their own life, because people don't fucking care what you're doing. They may have an opinion and they may have a perspective of that moment in time on something that you're doing, but that moment will pass and then they'll go back to their own life. I was very, very fortunate in terms of a couple of things I've been through myself in the last year or so when I've had negativity and I've had different comments come back at me. And I spoke about this in my book, particularly in the how to deal with negativity, how to deal with hate section of the mindset section of my book, that everything is an opinion and a perspective of this moment in time. And every moment is a new moment. Somebody will tell you something, or they'll have an opinion about what you're doing at that moment in time, and then we take that on board and we hold on to it like our firstborn child, and we let it dictate the entire direction of our life from that moment on. And that person's fucking forgot what they said. They forgot what they called you. They forgot they called you skinny, or they called you fat, or they called you small, or they called you ugly. They've forgotten because they're back focused on them. Yet we take those words, because words can't be unsaid, and then we take them in. And those people don't even care because they're so focused on what they're doing. And that's how everybody is in life. With the exception of your inner circle of your 3, 4, 5 people, your family, your friends, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, those people you care about, you're focused on, and you care what they're doing. And I'm going to get onto those people next. But everybody outside of that, they're focused on them and you're focused on you. So just turn it back on yourself when you're worried about making decisions because of what fucking Johnny will think or Mary will think or your fucking neighbors will think or your family will think. It doesn't matter. They're not worried about you. They'll talk about you for a quick moment in time and then that moment will pass. And yet we go through life being and caring about what people think when at the end of the day it doesn't matter because they're going to do their life, they're going to focus on them, and yet we let it guide the direction that we take our lives. Understand that the two types of people, your haters and your naysayers, and they're verbal and they'll make their words known. You need to not let that in, and you need to understand that everybody else outside of that doesn't really care. And then the last people are your number one supporters, and these are probably your most important people in your life. And I'm aware that when I speak of naysayers and haters and the people that don't care, it may sound like I have a negative perspective of large majorities of people, which isn't true at all. I love people for the largest part, and the majority of people you meet in life are incredible. You will have haters and you will have naysayers, and we all have those people, regardless of if it's a projection of what's going on within them, of their own insecurity onto you, or whatever else of human psychology that's feeding that. But we all have those incredible number one supporters in our life who will champion everything that we do. And it's so important to make sure they are in your inner circle. Make sure that they are in your 5 people you spend the most time with, because they are going to champion you becoming a better version of you. As soon as I think of my inner circle of 5 people, I think of my mum, I think of different people that are in my inner circle of friends that will support and champion every single thing that I do. And one of the analogies I use, and it's so funny, I remember I came back, and Paul, who's Paul and Orla on Mindfully Fit on podcast, and they're crushing their business. Paul came through my mentorship program as one of my closest friends. And I remember when I spoke, when I moved back home first, and we met for the first time, and I was on welfare, and I told him of all the things I was going to do. And he looked at me and he was like, yeah, I kind of believe you. And I told him, I was like, look, I'm going to the moon in a rocket. You can jump on the rocket or you can get the fuck off. And this is, again, I was a bit ego and bravado, and I've since dealt with a lot of that over the last couple of years, particularly with a bit more of a stoic philosophy mindset, in terms that ego is the enemy. But that's what I was like. I was a little bit more of a cocky kid at 24, 25. But I still have that mindset of, if you're going somewhere and you're going to the moon or you're going to your dream or you're going to do the life that you want, it's so important that the people that are with you, who jump on the rocket with you, and some of them are filling the fuel in the fire. They're filling the fuel in the rocket and they're helping you get there. The days you don't want to do it, the days that you're tired, they're championing your life and everything that you do. And it is crucial that you spend the majority of your time with those people and that you do the same for them. You champion their life, because the better friend you are, the better husband you are, the better wife you are, the better partner you are for them, the better they're going to be to you, for the law of reciprocity. So understanding there's three types of people in your life, and your happiness and the direction and everything that you do is going to be very determinant on the amount of percentage of those people and how you split it. If you're spending 80% of your time with haters and naysayers, you're not going to have a happy life. If you're spending 80% of your time with the people that don't care, you're not going to do anything. But if you're spending 80 or 90% of your time with your number one supporters, you can achieve incredible things. Okay, the next one is understanding that happiness comes from subtraction and not from addition. And for probably from the age of 17 to 26 or 27, I had this completely in reverse. I thought that happiness came from addition. I thought that having more friends, having closer people to me, having more material objects, having more money, having all these things, happiness came from addition. When as you get older, and I'm 30 at the end of this year, and like to think I'm a little bit wiser every year on year, and for me, I've learned that happiness comes from subtraction and not from addition. When you start taking things away, you start to see what's really, really important. And all the material things, and again, I'm speaking as someone who lived this firsthand experience, when I thought the nice car and the nice clothes and all these things were the important external things. Ironically, I have all of those things now. But again, they're down to the process of being able to help and serve more people and the law of reciprocity, which money effectively is just the universe's way of saying you're providing more value. And I understand now that it's subtraction. The very, very little things can make you happy. And when you know what they are, it's very easy to focus on them. My idea of a dream night now is spending a Saturday night at home in front of a fire with one of my favorite books and watching a kids movie with my daughter Holly, who's now two. That's subtraction. That's taking away everything else that once upon a time I thought I needed in order to be happy. And when you start realizing that there's not that many things in this world that are actually really truly making you happy, not that many people that are really truly making you happy, and you start subtracting the people that are taking more time or your emotional vampires that are taking away your energy or taking away your happiness, you start to really focus down on channeling and improving the relationships with the people that mean the most. I love the saying that you're better to have 4 quarters than 100 pennies, and basically means that you're better to have 4 incredible friends or 4 incredible family members than 100 people who you can turn to in times of need. And that goes for everything in life. Like, we think, and again, I say we, I speak for me, I would never put words into someone else's mouth, but for me, sometimes we think, and I was this person, that the more things I have, the happier I'll be. I'll be happier when I have that new computer. I'll be happier when I have this nicer car. I'll be happier when I have this new model of phone. And the truth is, that's not what brings happiness. It gives you a little bit of a dopamine release initially. And by all means, when you get your new car, or you get that new jacket, or you get whatever it is that you've been striving and working for, you get what's called the hedonic adaptation. It's when you get that dopamine release initially, and then after 2 months, it feels the exact same. There's been studies done on lottery winners who feel incredible for the first 2 months after winning the lotto, and then they come back to them 12 months later, and they feel the same they've always felt. It's a hedonic adaptation. It's a basic human psychological trait that we go back to baseline, and it's so important to understand that all these external things don't make you happy long term. You're going to go back to baseline, because happiness comes from within, and when you're looking for something external to provide that happiness, you constantly seek that external thing to provide that happiness. I spoke about that in the mindset section of my book, that when you're always thinking that I'm going to be happy when I have this body, and when I look this way, and when I have this nicer job, or I have all these things that I'm striving for, and by all means, set your bar high and work towards the things that you want, but don't let them define you, because those external things can be taken away from you in a blink of an eye. That attractive boyfriend, that sexy girlfriend, that amazing husband or wife that may not be around forever, the external things that can be taken from you, when you put your happiness into, I need to be one half of another relationship, you need to be happy within yourself. You can't be happy as a half, or you can't be happy as a half if you're not happy as a whole. And sometimes people, and I've spoken with guys and girls who think that they need, oh, I'll be happy when I find the right person. You need to sort yourself out first. You need to be happy within yourself, and then the right person comes as a result. And that looks different in different areas of life, and understanding that when you start taking away all those external things and you stop having those external thoughts that you're going to be happy when you have something else, and realize that happiness comes from subtraction of the things that are really important to you and not from addition, it can serve you massively moving forward. Okay, the last one then is define what or who is really important to you. This is the first time I've spoken about this on any platform. I went to a retreat last year in Northern California, which was basically a retreat where I was trying to deal through a couple of my own personal demons. I've had my own issues with addictions in the past and different things, anxiety and stress and different things that I've gone through in my life that have came back to basically not haunt me would be a strong word, but have came back that I've had to effectively deal with and man up to. And one of the things that I went through during that retreat was they did what was called a lifeboat experiment. It was where you had to picture yourself drowning and that you were dead effectively and you had died at sea and that you had sent back a message to the people that were closest in your life and what you would say to the loved ones. It was a very immersive experience. It was the first time I have ever experienced anything like that. And I remember they said, picture who are the people that it matters. Who are the people that you're sending those messages to? And for me, it was my mom and my daughter. They were the people that I saw in my mind's eye. When they say we have theory of mind, where we're able to pull visions and we're able to see things in the future and pull them back into reality. And I was able to experience that moment in time where you're basically not alive anymore and you're passing on those messages to your loved ones. And they're the people I saw. I saw my mom and I saw my daughter. And I still have this really sadistic feeling when I'm doing my long runs that basically I have to do that Marathon de Sable next year, or I get to do that Marathon de Sable next year, which is 256 kilometers through the hottest place on earth. And again, people have died doing it, and I'm aware that there's a possibility that that may happen, but I have to constantly repeat to myself, my daughter will not grow up without her father, my mom will not bury her son, because they're the things that keep me going when I'm trying to break past 20 kilometers, trying to break past 30 kilometers, when I'm trying to do and push my body and mind to limits and places that it's never been before, because I've made the decision that I'm not going to pull out of that race, that I'm either going to leave the Moroccan desert in an ambulance or I'm going to hit the finish line. There is no in between. There is no non-negotiable. And when I did that retreat, they were the two people who I pictured in my mind, and I pictured how it would feel to pass on my messages to them, to my mom and to my daughter. And when you understand who the people or the things that are very important or the most important to you, everything else falls away. All the money, all the business, all the impact, even the way you are with other people, the things and thoughts that you have about what people are saying about you, the haters, the naysayers, it all drops off because none of it fucking matters because you know who's important to you. I had to experience the retreat to really be able to hone that in. But the truth is, if you think about it, there's only a couple of people in your life, and I would go as far to say there's probably a maximum of 4 or 5 people who really matter in your life. Who is the most important people? Because their opinions matter. How you show up with them, how you live your life with them, when you spend your time with them, when you're able to define who those people are. And that may not be your mom, that may not be your children even. For you, it might be a partner, it might be someone completely different, your grandparents. I have no idea who that person is for you, but when you understand who they are, all the decisions you make in life is going to be based around how you show up with them. And happiness comes from fulfilling those relationships and being the best version of you with those people. I know myself, and I had my own issues and my own demons that I've largely came through now, and your mess becomes your message is how I'm able to speak about a lot of these things on the podcast and on different platforms that I do. And the truth is, when you understand who the people that are important, I came back from that event, and now my weekends are with my daughter, and I have her during the week as well, and I see her during the week. I have an amazing relationship with her mother. but I'm all in on those weekends. I'm spending time and being present with her. I'm spending time with my mum and going for dinners and hanging out and chilling and understanding that that time is so important because they're the people who are the closest to you. Best advice that if I could go back and offer my 25-year-old self or 21-year-old self, or if I hadn't gone to that retreat, my 28 or 29-year-old self, is find who those people that are important to you and then spend your time with them, because that's what really matters at the end of the day. And I swear to you, you're going to be a happier version of you and a better version of you because you're living in alignment with your nature and the people and the things that you were supposed to do, on top of all the other tips that I've given on being happy. When you combine them together, you can be a happier version of you, and all the things that you want and all the things that you want to have will come as a result of being the best version of you. Okay, so they are the five tips. And as I said, whatever has landed with you or whatever has resonated with you, the best piece of advice I can offer is focus on the things that are the most important to you, because at the end of the day, and again, I have no idea if this podcast will land. I know it's very different from what I normally do, because I normally speak fitness, nutrition. Majority of the episodes are around that area. But at the end of the day, you can have the best body composition in the world and you can have the sexiest abs or the best ass or whatever it is. But if you're not happy with the way you look or you're not happy with the way your life is, none of it really matters. You're better to be out of shape and to some extent be unhealthy than if you're super happy with your life. Again, it may be shorter because of life expectancy, but if you're happy, you're better to be 30, 40 years on this planet living life to the max and enjoying every single minute than to be 90 or 100 years but you dread every single minute because you're not happy with the things that you have in your life. So that's kind of why I did this episode, and to be honest, it was largely for me. I know sometimes when I listen back to these episodes in particular, I get a lot of value from them. So from a selfish point of view, it's one of the reasons that I record them, because I know on times when I need it, I'll refer back to it and I'll download it onto my phone and I'll have it for days when I'm struggling, or days when I'm feeling unhappy, or days when I'm not feeling grateful for all the amazing things I've been given. I can listen back to these episodes and it tends to bring it to the forefront of my mind. And that's something, a trick and tip that I use myself. And it's funny that I'll even do that with my own podcast, because sometimes I'm speaking to myself. So I hope you got a lot of value from listening to this. So be sure to hit me up on DM on Instagram or Snapchat, BrianK019, and tell me if you hate these episodes or you love them or you like them or dislike them. Let me know, because from a selfish point of view, they help me, but I can always record these and not post them. So again, be sure to hit me up. If you don't find any value in these and you prefer the other ones, let me know. If you found value in this helped, again, let me know as well. So a massive thank you for listening. Okay, for more information about me or my programs, Top 50 Program, GA Lean Body Program, check out the website, www.briankeefitness.com. Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram is all Brian Keane Fitness. Best-selling book, The Fitness Mindset, is available on Amazon, The Book Depository, and Dewberry's Bookstores in Ireland. And my Snapchat, BrianK019. Thanks to Tommy, who puts together all my podcasts, my new videographer, who is smashing my vlog on YouTube as well. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Catch you soon.